if I remember right, on potato harvesting, it's a little bit like harvesting garlic. You have to be very gentle and very careful when you reach down and try to pull those potatoes, those spuds out from the dirt, right?
Yep. Yeah, you can certainly, pulling the tops up, if they're still there, if they haven't rotted away, pull the tops out first, and some potatoes may still be attached to them, and then go in gently underneath them with a, you know, a digging fork or something like that, loosen the soil underneath and lift them up and gently sort them out and try to get all of them if you can, because if you leave a few in the soil, then you have volunteer potatoes next year coming up where among your garlic or your cabbages or your carrots or something.
Wouldn't it be just more effective just kind of scoot away the dirt from the top and work your way down?
Sure. But again, it depends on variety. Some potatoes are really convenient. They stay very close to the mother plant or right above the piece that you planted. But there are other varieties that really spread out. They have much longer rhizomes, and some of them can be as much as a foot, foot and a half away from the piece that you planted. So again, you want to loosen the soil, which is also good just generally for the garden, loosening all of that soil and then sorting out the potatoes, and if there's that's a chance to get any weeds out and the horsetail roots and whatever else is in there.
And then obviously cover up your planter with plastic so that the nutrients and soil doesn't wash away.
Sure. And again, we mentioned garlic too. Very often I may come back just only a few weeks away and fertilize that soil. You could do that as soon as you're done digging potatoes in preparation for planting garlic in those same beds.
So get some extra use out of the soil.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, you're turning them and putting it right back to work again. And, again, when we get seaweed coming in, throw some seaweed on top of there or mix it in. If you've got some partially finished compost even that isn't, you know, hasn't completely broken down, you can dig a trench down the middle of that bed, bury the compost in there, and then cover it up as you normally would with plastic and all, and let the worms and the microorganisms work on that all winter long.
Now, back to the potatoes themselves. Put them in a kind of a root cellar or garage or perhaps your furnace room, that sort of thing, to kind of dry it?
Even before that, you want to cure the potatoes first before you put them into your final storage area.
Ah, okay.
So then I use just common planting tray, the perforated planting trays, wash them off, and then
wash the potatoes off.
Yes. And then you can sort out. I've got a terrible scab problem, the worst disease of potatoes here. There's nothing I can do about it other than trying to grow varieties of potatoes that are resistant. So I need to pull those out to be eaten first. They do not keep well. They, with those rough patches on the skin, they dry out very easily or can get infected and then rot more quickly. So pick out your perfect ones for storage. And curing in those trays on the floor of the garage, cover them with some old blankets or newspapers or cardboard so they stay dark. Don't want to get light get to them. Give them a week or so, that toughens up the skins, then into paper bags or cardboard boxes in your cool, as cool as possible storage area. 40 degrees or less, if possible.
But you don't want to go below freezing, do you?
No, they don't. Yeah, you don't want to freeze them because then when they thaw, they rot. And when they rot, that's the nastiest smell going, is rotten potatoes.
But back to the cleaning, you don't want to scrub their skins down to the meat, do you?
No. This is just, again, you have them in these trays, which is perfect. So then you can just wash them. You may want to roll them over a little bit, wash underneath to get the most of the dirt off them before you put them in the place to dry out. Maybe we have a dry day, if you're so lucky, and you can dry them some outside before they go into your temporary storage curing area, before they go into the final resting spot, root cellar maybe, cool corner of your garage, that is an outside wall can be a good spot that can be kind of shielded. And again, you want to keep them dark. So if they're in a cardboard boxes or if they're in that outside corner of a basement, there's some people have basements in Juneau, that's a great spot, and sometimes a crawl space, as long as there's decent access to it, that you can get down there certainly to bring out some potatoes, but you really need to check them too, inspect them, to see that you aren't getting any rotting potatoes in a box or whatever container you've got them in. So, because a rotten potato can spoil a whole lot more potatoes if they're not removed quickly.
And what about saving some for planting next spring?
Again, pick out your best. Pick out the most perfect potatoes you can. I mean, a golf ball size, from marble to golf ball size is perfect. Those would be ones to set aside in a separate area, even in a refrigerator. If you're going to put them in a fridge, though, they're with our frost-free refrigerators these days, that's a place you might put them in a plastic bag, where you would not normally do that in your regular storage. But in the fridge, so they don't dry out and shrivel up, you might do that with your seed potatoes.
And I know we're probably going to talk about it again next spring, but when you plant seed potatoes, you're going to use potatoes that have several eyes. You're going to be cutting them up into individual portions in which an eye is in each portion, right?
Yes, if you're using large potatoes. Again, with these small ones like marble to ping pong ball or golf ball size, those you can plant whole.
Oh.
That's a nice convenient thing. And again, not cutting them means you're less likely to have some disease problems or rotting problems with the pieces. Although, again, around here, cutting potatoes and planting them immediately usually works very well.
Okay, last week we talked a little bit, very briefly, about kind of the relationship between potato and garlic harvesting. You wanted to talk about bulb planting this week. It's that time of year before the snow started falling, right?
Yes, that's better. I have planted bulbs through several inches of snow, which is not much fun. But ideally, you want to get them in before the ground freezes. So there are bulbs that are available at our local retailers now. It's a little too early to really plant. Soil temperatures are rather warm and conditions are rather warm. So you're better off buying the bulbs now so you get your best selection. And I know the rotary people are selling bulbs too. That's another option. But get them now so you've got a good selection. Put them in a cool place, cool dark place, again, that garage or whatever. And then say end of September, first 2-3 weeks of October. I mean, the weather's mild. That's fine as long as it's not frozen. And the mantra here is pointy end up for most of these daffodils, tulips, crocus. Some bulbs are a little more difficult to tell. But we're going to be planting those in areas where we've got good drainage. Now, they don't have to have full sun for the summertime. It may be an area that it's open in the springtime because you have deciduous trees, and then they eventually get shaded over, but that's okay. As long as they've got good drainage, and we're going to be digging in figure 6 to 8 inches deep to plant the bulbs in, and I plant them in fairly large holes. I'll dig trenches even, and dig a trench down 8 inches deep. Scratch some fertilizer, bulb food, or whatever down in the bottom, and then start laying out my bulbs. And I mix in batches of daffodils and tulips, can all be in the same trench. Set some buckets of soil aside from that trench, and as you work your way across the garden, you're just shoveling, making the new trench and filling in the old trench behind, which is a really efficient way to plant hundreds of bulbs an hour.
Yeah, and you can also plant some different heights, one on top of each other in the trench?
Exactly, depending on the size of the bulb. So, for example, crocus, scilla, snowdrops, and others. Normally, your bulb packages, if you're buying them, have little instructions on them how deep to plant the bulbs. So the big bulbs, lilies, tulips, daffodils, usually are down there 6 to 8 inches deep. Then the crocus and scilla and some of the other smaller bulbs are planted only 3 or 4 inches deep. So you partially fill in that trench, and then plant these little bulbs on top, especially if they're earlier blooming. So first the crocus bloom or the snowdrops. They're even earlier yet. They're sometimes late March to bloom. And they're all done by the time the daffodils come up. And the daffodils are all done by the time the tulips come up. So in one bed or one, say, a 1-foot by 3-foot area, you can plant 30 to 50 or 60 different bulbs and have flowers from late March into early June.
Now, I'm guessing you don't want to plant them too early while the soil's warm because they may bolt and start a little earlier than usual?
Absolutely. And that can be a problem, especially if we have a long, mild fall or early winter. If you get them in too early, I have seen some of these bulbs starting, they get enough cooling time, the roots are growing, that Once they get enough chilling time, below 40 degrees, then they start to send up their shoots. And if it's too early, like that may be late December or January, they start to show up. And then we get our normal hard freeze after that. Well, those top growth gets frozen back. And usually you'll still get flowers, but we have wasted, the bulb has wasted energy because it's lost that first batch of growth. And they are growing some more. So you lose future potential is what happens. So again, wait until early October. And then hopefully, maybe, we get a consistent fall freeze-up, snow cover, and then the springtime comes in March. We can dream.
Should we fertilize them at all in the spring?
Depends on how you're treating your bulbs. With some customers I have, especially with tulips, tulips tend to give us one good year of flowering. Second year, half as much. Third year, just leaves. So with tulips, at least, I'm often treating those just about as annuals. There's a few varieties that do come back consistently, but most of them do not come back well. Daffodils come back, crocus, and some of the other small bulbs do well. So it is worth giving them a sprinkling of the bulb food fertilizer in the spring among the plants, which can be just as they are sprouting. Or even you can use a liquid fertilizer, a spray-on like Miracle-Gro or liquid fish or liquid seaweed to actually spray on the leaves, not on the flowers because that will usually cause flowers to rot. But that liquid food can help the plant feed the bulbs again. And again, this year, since we had a great summer, it was a late spring, but with lots of sunshine, then the bulbs make more food that they store, the plants store more food in the bulbs and then for future years.
Okay. Ed Barsky, thank you.
You're welcome, Matt.